game show.
He had an anecdote he wanted to relay.
Hatfield, am I wrong? Am I wrong?
I mean, you're down your dance floor.
No, Hatfield, on the Smart Way Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime, you're presented by Clancy's. Tony Jones has a basketball academy, and I'm asking you to take a side now. Do I owe Jeker an apology for that?
I think Jeker probably expected it, Tony. So if you're expecting something, you usually don't expect an apology.
You think he was setting me up for that? You think he was setting me up for me to blow him up?
It's a possibility.
Any thoughts on their conversation before I get Marky Boy Griffin in here, Keith Hatfield?
Turner does make me a little nervous as a primary ball handler.
Yep.
He doesn't. He's not the most fluid. He's certainly not as fluid with the ball as Jordan Bone, for example.
I don't want to be revision history guy here. Stay there, and let me bring Griff. Is that you?
That is
Marky Boy Griffin. Lamonte Turner. You saw him in practice. I'm gonna put words in your mouth. You told me last year he's not a primary point guard. Yes.
That's correct. I don't know if they recruit him to be a point guard. You guys would probably know more than I did, but what I observed in practice, he did not seem to be, even during the transition year last year, to be a true point guard. He was more of a two guard, but still with not great, what I consider, handles. And just like someone just mentioned, kind of makes me nervous how he dribbles the ball. If you watch him, you know, and I know Coach would say the same, but when you teach dribbling, you teach people to stay low. He's one of these guys standing straight up. The ball's bouncing 4 feet in the air, and that kind of makes me nervous to see how he takes care of the ball to stay low to the ground, keep that ball low to the ground. And I don't see that a lot with Lamonte, but I know he's work in progress, trying to get better, but I didn't see him as a true point guard, Tony.
Keith, is that where you are on him, like the high dribble and just the – What is it about him, Keith, that has you concerned when you see him handling the ball?
Well, I just don't know that he's as athletic as most point guards he's going to play against. I mean, it sure seems to me that you can speed him up a little bit, and that really, really, really elite level quickness and athleticism and active hands seem to cluster him pretty good.
Thoughts, Griff, on the game tonight? Give me some takeaways, Griff.
Well, I just was able to, you know, get on the air, so I don't know what all you guys talked about, but one of the things that kind of stood out to me, and I'm sure it was addressed, was some of the inconsistencies with the shot selection, especially down the stretch. And Tony, you and I have talked about this ad nauseum, but you got to get the ball in Hub's hand. And it could be a simple play, and we've got a coach on here that could draw a play. You know, just make sure you just say, look, we're going to pass the ball, but we're not going to shoot till we get the ball to Hubs. And you can do that because you've got so many seconds on the shot clock. But why can't the ball go through him? Now, he's going to have to continue to work, but you can post him when they got a shorter man on him. You can lob the ball over if you have to, if a tall guy's fronting him. It's got to go through Hubs. He is your money man. The way he was playing tonight, you just got to go to him, and you live and die through Hubs, period.
He had 21, Mark. And Jonesy, Tony Jones's point was he could have had 35.
Could have had 35.
I mean, the guy's 9 of 14. The guy's 9 of 14. He's got it. If you're 9 of 14, and I'm coaching, I'm getting you 28 shots before the night's over. Well, I mean, I'm heat checking you. I'm heat checking you.
Exactly. You just keep going to money man. Period.
Yeah. He's the best player on the team, and I think that all of us that's on this line would say in any type of competitive environment, or especially collegiate basketball, if your best player needs the ball when the game is close.
No question, and that's all. And there's no malice there or anything. I'm really proud of how hard they played and how well they played, Mark. And you know, the truth is, Arkansas, Vegas did not like them because they can't play on the road. They got blown out earlier this year by Minnesota. But if it's about talent, Arkansas's got more talent. I mean, if it's about hardware, Arkansas has more hardware. What Arkansas hadn't done, and Hatfield made this point down the stretch in basketball games on the road, they haven't executed. Tonight they did. So you tip your cap. But it's painful to lose a game you're up 15 in, Mark.
Oh, it's hard to eat dinner tonight. That's how bad I feel, and I know a lot of your listeners and callers feel the same. And one thing you may not have touched on is Jalen Barford from that plays for Arkansas. You know, I saw him play in the AAU circuit or the summer league circuit. He played in Nashville where I live, and what a competitor! And for him to be able to come to Knoxville, Tennessee, against a school that probably did not recruit him. He was one of the central figures tonight for that comeback during the run they had at the end of the first half, and I was really proud of him, even though obviously I wanted Tennessee to win, but such a fierce competitor, and this may have been his coming out game because he was first team JUCO All-American and hasn't really been as consistent as I know the Arkansas staff wanted him to be, but really played a fantastic game tonight.
You know, they've been waiting on him, Tony, and you know, the three-point shooting's his calling card, and he's only 2 of 2 from the line. The guy only gets 2 attempts, but he ends up with 14 in the game. Hannes has 13, and that Hannes kid, y'all, is a hell of a player.
He is a good player, and I remember him from the AU circuit where, you know, if you left him open beyond the arc, it was down. And he made a three during the second half that was clutch.
Dagger.
He made the runner.
Yep.
And then, you know, as Mark alluded to about Barford kept him in the game in the first half.
Sure did.
He scored 10 points in the first half and had 4 rebounds.
Wow.
He only scored 2 field goals. He only scored 4 points in the second half, but he kept him in that game in the first half and enabled him to stay close and put them in position to win.
Hatfield, jump in here. What do you think?
No, I think Hannes is one of those guys that there's no doubt. He's the kind of guy that every good team has. You've got to have a guy that, and to his credit as a player, I mean, he was purely a specialist when he was at Texas Tech and early on at Arkansas. He's added a lot more to his offensive game so that he's considerably more difficult to guard now than he was.
Get our next call in tonight. You're on with Mark Griffin, Keith Hatfield, and T. Jones live, along with Tony Basilio, on your Smart Way Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. It's an absolute institution, and most of you should be institutionalized for being with us tonight. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Happy New Year.
Hey, T.R., welcome in, buddy.
I got 2 plays that stand out with me. Williams got fouled on the offensive glass, and that goes Arkansas way. And the block by Hubs, the clean block by Hubs on the defensive end, there's 2 big plays right there, man. We get no freaking respect. None.
Keith, your thoughts on those 2 calls that TR is referencing?
I thought the Grant Williams foul was a play on, and no, I don't think there was any doubt that Hubs' block was clean.
Absolutely clean. In fact, the Arkansas player went and chased the ball down because he knew this guy just swiped my shot. Tony, what did you think of the whistle tonight? Tony Jones.
You know what? Tennessee was in the double bonus early in the second half.
Yes.
I mean, I think it was the 8-7 minute mark. They were in the double bonus. So as a coaching staff, You gotta instruct your players to constantly go to the basket and try and get hit and put the onus on the officials to make the call, and then we go on to shoot too. The block by Hubs was a clean block. I mean they missed that call.
Yep.
And that happens. That happens in games, guys. I mean, that happens. I mean, you know, you've seen Bruce Pearl go ballistic on situations like that. You've seen Donnie Tindall, you've seen Konzo Martin, you see Rick Barnes go ballistic on those type of situations. But those type of things happen, and those type of things that you got to live with in the basketball game.
Griff, did you think those calls were egregious no calls, or one egregious call and then a no call? TR's point.
Well, no, I agree with TR. It's just that you hate that it comes down to having the referee be more involved in the game than you really want to as a player. You'd rather the refs just do their job and not, to me, dictate tempo. And like Coach Jones says, I mean, there's just some things out of your control. And you know, you're going to get some calls. Some calls you're not going to get. But as a player, you just hate for the game to be taken out of your hands and let that just be determined by the 10 guys on the court. But I thought it was a terrible call on Hubs, very critical time period. But I don't think that's, you know, what caused the Vols to lose. I think there were other instances that did cause them to lose. Because you look at the statistics, and every statistic that really mattered, Tony, looked like that Tennessee was favored throughout the night. So,
yep.
You know, you got to look at other things, like little things, timing of turnovers, not the amount of turnovers, but timing of missed free throws, not the amount of free throws shot. But the timing wasn't there for this young team. Hopefully they'll grow from this. But I think this loss is really going to hurt this Tennessee team down when it comes to selection time, and they're looking at how many victories Tennessee's got, and they're going to look at that.
Oh, it's a little early. It's a little early for that.
To me, it is early, but I'm counting every game as important, and you got a home game like this against Arkansas that you've got a great chance to win, especially with Arkansas's history of losing on the road.
No doubt about that.
I just think it's going to come back and bite them, Tony.
That's why. Look, I'm watching the first half. I'm already counting the game. In my mind, you're 2-0. Because Arkansas is going to fold. Arkansas is going to get blown out. And then all of a sudden you look up, and it's a two-point game at halftime. And I'm going, whoa, wait a second here. That wasn't supposed to happen. TR, go ahead. Anything else for us?
Yeah, I have a feeling your boys, your Big 12 Mountaineers are way out in Lubbock tonight. I mean, it looks like it's a real fierce battle you got going on there, man. I mean, I know you just...
How about it, Hatfield? Your Mountaineers down in Lubbock.
Oh, I mean, every road game in that league is a grind now. I mean, you don't get any off nuts. I mean, you look in that league now, probably the worst team in that league is coached by a guy who's been to a Final Four.
TR, have you ever been to Lubbock?
I can't recall, man. I've been through Amarillo way back when, man. I remember we spent the night in Amarillo.
Will you sing me a little Amarillo by morning on the way out here?
Oh, man, who's my balls got next? Who do my balls have next? Who's up next?
We're at Florida, Saturday.
Okay, that's all right. We're up for it. We're up for it, man. I'm just glad that Bonzi could use his stay tonight to get this out to the Clemson Tigers with his outfit tonight. Go, baby!
What do you, Keith, as I bring you back in, what do you think of the Florida matchup?
I think Tennessee will have some trouble because, I mean, Florida's got some pretty good, got some size. Any road game for a team as young as Tennessee is going to be a test. But
yes.
If you've played in Chapel Hill and played North Carolina to the buzzer, I don't think you're going to be cowered by any atmosphere you're going to catch in the SEC outside of maybe Kentucky.
Start time doesn't do us any favors, though, right?
I'm assuming it's one of those terrible noon games.
Tony, what's it like, the situation in Florida, playing down there?
Well, first of all, you gotta deal with the chlorine as you're getting ready to go into the arena, and it smells just like...
Where's Mike DeBoer when you need him?
It's just ridiculous. And then you've got the obnoxious Florida fans that's out there.
Bunch of effing Yankees.
Heckling the bus as you go into the venue. It's going to be a tough game. I mean, Florida has the RPI that's tops in the SEC right now at 5. I mean,
wow.
It's going to be a tough game. Mike White is doing a really good job there. He's a good person, a quality coach. Gonna be a tough game to win down there.
Hey Griff, that's a tough matchup, isn't it?
Tough matchup. I know Coach Jones had a lot of success down in Gainesville, and I remember back in the day we had some success down in Gainesville. But you just don't know how these kids are gonna come out and play. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, don't they have a new arena as well?
Boy, that's a good question. Hatfield, do they have a new arena?
Well, they redid the O'Connell.
Yeah, they're still in the same place. I mean, it's the same. It's the same dingy smell. It still smells like the Hollister Fieldhouse at Westchester State where I grew up. Watching, hey, Tony, we'd go to the boxing matches there at that fieldhouse, and you could smell the chlorine. What the hell? What is that?
You know what? It's going to be difficult for some of the younger players because once you come out and start warming up, got those students that's there early.
Yes.
And all they're going to do is just heckle those guys all pregame. And they're going to get on them. They're going to talk to them. And then are our young players going to engage those guys? Are they going to engage them and kind of, you know, lose a focus and things of that nature?
I want to give Gainesville back to Cuba, Tone. I want to give Gainesville. Yeah.
This is going to be a key. Rob Lanier, who's an assistant at Tennessee, used to be a coach at Florida.
Yes.
With Billy Donovan.
Yes.
So he's got to let those players know that they got to come with a focus and a determination to go out there and compete and discard all that outside noise. Because it's going to be a tough game right from the giddy up and just go out there and execute and try and take away that crowd. And let's get the guys the ball who we need to get the ball, and let's hopefully stay in the game and see what happens at the end.
Smartway Guards, a law firm, fifth quarter fan reaction. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Two Tones and Keith Hatfield and whoever, Marky Boy Griffith. This is Fake Dave Nathan on the line right now.
What's up, Fake Dave Nathan? Talk to me.
Guys, it's great to hear from all y'all, and I love what y'all do and appreciate it, the fact that y'all are on this long after the game. Man, what a gutty effort. I'll tell you what, I don't think the better team won tonight, I'll be honest with you. Tennessee losing or giving up that first half 13-point lead, 13-14-point lead, I think that Barnes, I think I've heard it earlier in the show, you got to call a TO there and get your troops back together and say, hey guys, we've got the game plan. Keep playing ball the way that we've been playing.
What do you think, Griff? Let me ask Griff that. Griff, you got to call time out there if you're Rick Barnes?
I think a lot of that comes down to just preparation and If you run it there in practice and you've got a game plan in place, I don't think there's really a need to call a timeout. That's just my opinion. I'd be interested to see what Coach Jones has to say about, you know, timeout or not. But I feel if you've got a plan, you've executed in practice, then you've got your go-to plays for situational offense and defense. You just go with it. You don't really need to call a timeout to do that because so many things can happen during the timeout. So I think you just go ahead and try to execute your play.
Continue, Fake Dave Nathan, reporting not from Chapel Hill.
No, we're definitely not reporting from Chapel Hill tonight, Tone. I wish that I was still reporting at the Bearden Fieldhouse where I was expecting to see the great one, San Antonio Jones, last week where I had him a sweet glass of Cabernet.
San Antonio Jones, I saw Fake Dave Nathan at the Bearden Hill Fieldhouse at the listener watch party for the Nebraska game. And he had a $30 glass of wine in his hand, the finest vintage in Knoxville, for you. And he was looking for you.
Well, Fake Dave Nathan, I'm going to put the onus on you. Wherever you're going to be at to watch the national championship game on Monday, let me know where you're going to be there, and I'll be there.
Absolutely.
What?
I'll pass the word through through Tone. I'll pass the word through Tone Basilio. But back to the game. Back to the game tonight, guys. I mean, we're young, and it's tough when you get beat down like that. And whoever agrees or doesn't agree with a timeout when you're giving up 13 points at the end of the half, that's beside the point. I think we still battled back in the second half, and we had an opportunity to go up. And we didn't capitalize on it, but that's going to happen with a young team. This team is fun to watch. And they're still, you lose this one, you got to make one up. And I think that we got an opportunity to make one up. And Hatfield, I think you're still on the line.
He's right there. Go ahead, Hatfield.
Yes.
Is there what game right now stands out to you that this Tennessee team right now could go out and pull out an upset that most people think there's no way Tennessee can win that game?
Well, I think they'll give Kentucky all they want here in Knoxville.
Well, totally agree with that. I totally agree. They're going to dial it in with those guys this year.
Well, that would definitely be one that I don't think most people think that we could get. So if we can pick back up Kentucky and we can play ball the way that we should play ball, and we're going to have these ups and downs, but I also think that we're going to win some games that we shouldn't win, and we might lose some games that we probably should have won. But at the same time, I think that Rick's doing a good job. I'm standing behind him. Just the same as I said last week, this is going to be a fun team to watch. San Antonio, I love you, brother. I love you being on this show. I can't wait to see you at either the next basketball watch party. Tone, Keith, I appreciate everything y'all do. Y'all have a great night. Peace out.
Hey, have a Dwight Gooden. Yeah. Fake Dave Nathan has left the building. Go ahead, Keith.
Oh, I think that's probably, I think they'll give Kentucky trouble. And I mean, South Carolina's record's pretty gaudy. I'll be a bit surprised if Tennessee can't handle them. I'll be a bit surprised if Tennessee doesn't handle them in Knoxville.
Tony, are you ready to make that proclamation? They're going to handle South Carolina in Knoxville.
No, I'm not. I competed against Frank Martin's teams, and he's going to come in with attitude in Knoxville. And he's got some talent on that basketball team. But they can be Jekyll and Hyde at times, and if Tennessee plays well, I think we could beat them, at Thompson Bowling. But, it's still going to be a tough game. I mean, the next two games going to be tough. I mean, if we can come out 2-2, that'd be great.
You mean 1-1? I'll take a split.
No, I'm talking about 2-2 collectively.
You're talking about the next four games. Oh, you mean 2-2 overall. Yeah, so 1-1 in the next two. Yeah, I got you there. Yeah, I'll take that. Will you take a split half field right now the next two games?
Well, I mean, I think if you get one of the next two, you will have played four of the top seven teams in the league.
You're 500.
And you'll be at 500.
And then go to Vandy and get your win. Beat you some Ole Miss. And then you're playing on house money.
That's how you build a resume.
Hey, guys, Keith, give me a final thought here on the way out, and I'm going to go around the room for final thoughts. As we're about 75, 80, 90 minutes in, that's good. Keith, go ahead.
Oh, I think you take away, there's a lot to take away positive from tonight. I think you're going to see some things with this team. I mean, experience is at a minimum on this team. I think you saw at the end of the first half and how they kind of squandered a lead there, some of the pitfalls you're going to have with really young teams, but I think that'll change.
Thank you, Hatfield. Love you. Yeoman's work for you, brother.
Thanks, Downey. Talk to you guys later.
Clancy's.
Yes, Clancy's Tavern and Whiskey House in downtown Knoxville next to the Tennessee Theater.
Thank you, Hatfield. Good talking to you. The great Keith Hatfield. He's a wonderful guy. I'll bring Marky Boy Griffin in here. Griff, give me a final thought.
Well, I think my final thought is really proud of Grant Williams' play. Very consistent and just playing above his head and just the will to be a great player, to go up against the SEC preseason player of the year in Moses Kingsley and come out the way he did can only give him confidence moving forward the way he's performed so far, especially in early SEC play. It's going to be someone that they're going to be able to lean on down the road for additional points and definitely for defensive play and rebounds.
Grant Williams is so freaking fun to watch. I love guys that have a tremendous heart and a tremendous motor. And, Tony, I'm not sure how he's doing what he's doing, but it sure is fun to watch.
I mean, I'm a fan. You know, later for being a coach, I'm a fan of Grant Williams. He's a guy that I'm gonna follow this year.
I feel that.
And I give him a lot of kudos.
Me too.
And you know, we talk about it being a young team, and it is, but you still got Robert Hubbs, who's a senior, and Dietrich Mostello, who's a junior, who's been through some of the wars that, you know, these guys got to step up for it to be a season where we gonna be able to put ourselves in a position to maybe be talked about as a NCAA tournament team and hopefully maybe an NIT team. So, you know, these next few games are going to be very, very important. But like you alluded to earlier, it's a fun team to watch.
Fun.
They play hard.
Fun.
And let's keep this thing going.
Tone, love you, man. Plug your thing one more time, Tone, where they can find you.
You can find me at the Knoxville Basketball Academy. You can get in contact with me at TonyKBA.com or H3Sports.org. We're going to have a great AAU program this year. I'm going to be on the locker room every Sunday talking about Tennessee and college sports and high school sports in the Knoxville area. And I'm proud to be a part of the Tony Basilio Basketball Overtime Institution as the season progresses.
The great Tony Jones. Bow thy head. Love you, man. Thanks.
Later.
Marky Boy Griffin, a lot of fun, brother. Thanks for everything. And there's a guy who was there tonight talking to me on Periscope a second ago, said Grant Williams was in the head of about four different players at one time. I mean, he was under some skin of some players now, Griff, on the way out.
Love it. Just I love his intensity and his demeanor. I mean, he's calm. He's like a calm player out there, but he's just a workhorse. And it's just something that it's contagious for the other players. When you got somebody playing as hard and doing the dirty work that he does, just makes you want to play harder and compete. And he brings it consistently every game. And we just got to make sure it's continue to be contagious. And one other thing, Tony, I want to give a plug to was the fans that were there tonight. I was really pleased with the number of fans that came and how loud and how much they got into it throughout the game. It was just really nice to be around a bunch of people that really cared about this team playing hard.
We have a tremendous basketball following, a tremendous basketball fan base. Proof, you ready? Tuesday night, I'm signing off at 10:17, and there are three calls on hold, but I've got to get to work on my blog. I love y'all. But I've got about a 2,000-word blog to get in, and I got to start knocking it out. And you got some stuff on the coordinator deal tomorrow. Griff, love you, man. You're my man.
Love you, bro. All right.
All right. Thank you, brother. Latest on the AD search. I'm not doing that tonight. But I love you. Tomorrow on the blog, we'll have some thoughts on the AD. The AD search and the offensive coordinator search, and we got to handle that. To the calls on hold that couldn't get on, I apologize for that. We'll try to do better next time. I want to thank everybody that participated this evening. I want to thank my friends at Smartway and your Garza Law Firm. And I want to remind you one more time that Marcos Garza at the Garza Law Firm got your six, whether it's personal injury, DUI, or criminal defense. GarzaLaw.com. Marcos will do an awesome job, and I mean an awesome job for you. Final thought. On a night where we found out that Mike DeBoard left us, we had an issue with humidity and stickiness in Thompson Bowling Arena. Multiple wipes of the basketball. Is there a connection? I need some people to get over to that swimming complex. Check the pH in the pool. Get to the intramural fields at once. Ladies and gentlemen, the human yeast roll has left the building. We love you. Hope you have a great night. We're going to get back. We're going to get back to the top. I feel it. I feel it in my bones. We're going to get back to the top. It wasn't supposed to matter, right? Hey, don't tell these kids. Don't tell these kids to sit it out. Don't tell these kids to sit it out.
Well, you know what I thought has happened, Tony, and it's been a huge frustration of mine is I thought that the selection of the games of the two teams in these games have been horrible over the last few years. I thought this year they hit a home run, especially when you start getting to the top of the of the bowl hierarchy, if you will, minus the four teams in the playoffs.
Couldn't agree more.
And that is exactly what you want. And I was even thinking this. Wouldn't it be a great idea for these non-playoff games to, every now and then I would go, hey, this game's going to be a home game for this team. The higher-ranked team gets the game. Maybe 30% of the tickets goes to the other school. I mean, because I was thinking about tonight as I'm watching Nebraska and Tennessee, is that was great atmosphere. I mean, why couldn't they do that other places? Go, hey, we're going to reward, you know, the higher ranked team one more home game. The other team gets 30,000 tickets. Just to make it exciting instead of these crazy neutral sites, which to me, I don't even know if that all makes it all.
What are you
sense.
Doing, Michigan? Throw the ball behind the line of scrimmage.
Call your timeout!
Good night! Let's go back to the phones. 865-200-5402 to our next call. We go Smart Way Garza Law Firm, fifth quarter fan reaction. That guy hung up. Let's get our next one in. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Welcome.
You got me.
Go right ahead.
Actually, I was calling. I watched the game with Jerry today.
Oh, awesome, man. So you're in the great Northwest?
Absolutely. And I had to make a comment. Because, I mean, you guys were talking about people in Seattle and they're not being very aggressive. You haven't watched the Seahawks or the 12, if you believe that.
Talk to them, Andy. Keep going, baby.
Keep going, man. hey, educate me.
The 12. Three. 12 is what we call the fans here that root for the Seattle Seahawks. And the 12 are the craziest people you have ever seen in your life and the loudest. I mean, you hear them probably, Jerry, how many miles from the stadium can you hear them? At least halfway through downtown.
Yeah.
Okay, that's okay, I realize you guys have always had – look, I'm an old North American Soccer League fan. The Seattle Sounders in the Old Kingdom had great loud fans. Not the Sounders of today. I'm talking about the Sounders of yesteryear. I could pull you a media guide out from 1978, and I could hold up and show you the Old Kingdom. Maybe one night on Periscope we'll do a show and tell of all my really moronic trinkets I have. But my point is that y'all out there – if a fight breaks out, people start yelling, safe space, safe space. In Nissan,
I've never heard of that.
In Nissan Stadium today, the guy that looked like Hacksaw Jim Duggan, minus the 2x4, was laying some haymakers in there. There was no safe space.
And Florida State just got the ball and knelt
Don't
down.
You hate that?
Actually, the last thing I said to Jerry as I was leaving was, who do you think is going to win this game? And what did you say, Jerry?
And
Jerry, what did you say? Who's going to win the game, Jerry? Florida State. Don't go to sleep on your friend, Jerry. Pay attention, Jerry. Stay engaged, Jerry. Safe space, Jerry. Nason Iodine, Jerry. Diamond Gusset Jeans, Jerry. Alex Jones, Jerry.
Well, I need to take two of these brain
points. Don't psyops him. Don't psyops him, Jerry. What did Jerry say to you?
Jerry said, eventually it'll be FSU. And he was perfectly correct.
I hail Michigan for playing those guys an awesome game. Hail to Michigan.
Yeah, it was a great
game. That's an awesome foot. Basketball balls loose tonight. Tony Basilio welcoming you to another edition. Special transmission this evening if you want to get in, 865-200-5402. Tony Jones back with me. Hatfield will be by a little later on. Marky Boy Griffin as well. On a night where the Vols at one point had a 39-24 lead towards the latter part of the first half, and they go to the break 39-37, and you knew from there it wasn't good. It wasn't good. Tony Jones, I bring you in against the backdrop of what we saw tonight. The up and down growth of a young basketball team, Tony, as I welcome you in. The Vols lose tonight to Arkansas, the final 82-78. And Tony, a young team on display tonight, the ups and downs.
Just a missed opportunity. I think each and every game in the SEC is going to be tough. It's going to be a grind them out game. We let one slip away. Obviously, you alluded to the 39-24 lead in the first half, and then Arkansas goes on an 11-0 run in the last 2:57. Then they come out and score the first 2 points of the second half, and that makes it a 15-0 run. And that puts them, back in control of the game, or with a level of confidence that they didn't have when they were down.
Yeah, the number ended up being, Tone, 20-2 was the run that was decisive. Right. And Tony, I think they had the first four in the second half, and it was punctuated by a run out dunk. Tennessee just looked like they were asleep, coming out after the break. Let's talk about some bright spots. This Williams kid he kind of defies his size, doesn't he, Tone?
Grant Williams could play for me and anybody who I've coached with, coached for, whatever team I've been associated with. Grant Williams could play for us and play for me. 6'5", North Carolina kid. I mean, obviously, he's showing what he can do. He's a double-digit scorer for the Vols this year. But, I mean, just the number of multiple opportunities that he enables the basketball team to possess during a basketball game. For my money, tonight he was the toughest guy out there on the basketball floor. He made his free throws. He missed two important free throws after the timeout, which was tough. But, you know, for a guy that's a banger, more or less he makes his free throws, and then he gives his team multiple opportunities. He's a defender. He's an intimidator. He blocks Kinsley's shot in a pivotal part of the basketball game, And Kinsley, who's supposed to be the preseason MVP, which he's not. He's not. He just doesn't play hard. He's kind of a prima donna. And but Grant Williams is a keeper, and the Vol fans should be very proud of him to be able to have opportunity to watch him for 4 years in a row.
Grant Williams is I love guys like that. I'm glad that you were talking the way that you were about him. And you know, one thing that blows my mind is tonight. You look at the work he did, Tony. He fouled Thomas out of the game. He had two of their other forwards in foul trouble.
Right.
Grant Williams tonight at 6'5", Tony, got to the foul line 14 times. He had 14 foul shots, I should say. 14 attempts from the foul line for a guy 6'5"? I mean, are you kidding? Let me ask you this.
Go ahead. What did he end up? What did he end up? 10 of 14 or 11 of 14?
9 of 14, Tony.
9 of 14, okay.
No, I'm sorry. I'm reading Hubs' line. My bad. Williams tonight goes the line 14 times, and he's 9 of 14 from the line. Like I said, yeah,
okay.
9 of 14.
Okay.
9 of 14.
Okay, okay. Great player. I mean, we didn't get the ball to Robert Hubs in
no.
the second half.
No,
I mean,
he disappeared.
You know, he's 6 of 8 early.
Yep.
12 points, 3 rebounds,
yep.
and it's like you know we playing keep away from.
Him. Yeah.
And let's be honest, Robert Hubs is the most talented player on the Vols basketball team. You know, Dedrick Mostello, he's a very good player. He stretches the defense, unbelievable three. You know, down late, a great play diagram by Rick Byrne to get us down by two. But Robert Hubs has got to be the focal point of the offense. And we've seen tonight a little immaturity with Jordan Bone, you know, the almost turnover late in the second half, and then the turnover.